Andrew, how long has it been since you've been on our air?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, a long time, Paul D'Arienzo, a long time.
Really?
Years.
Andrew Phillips, you used to have a show here. What, on
former program?
I used to have a radio station.
Well, we'll get the program director and all of that. He actually used to be a part of the late night team, midnight, which is, to me, more important than being a program director. I mean, problems during the day, I mean, it has nothing.
Administrative details.
Administrative details,
that's right.
Yes. You know, this is the artistic side where we actually get to create on the time that's provided us by the hard work of program directors everywhere. some of the listeners might not understand that you have such a background in radio and this dying art form here that we're presenting on WBAI, holding out to the last here at our 50,000 watts on the Empire State Building. First of all, you have the strange accent. Now, is it true that your family were historically prisoners aboard a ship that was sent to the bay?
How many times do I have to rely, rely-a-day, singing to rely, rely-a-day?
Well, you know,
singing to rely, rely-a-day, we're bound for Botany Bay. There's this rumor that Australians were all, you know, ne'er-do-wells in England and Ireland, which is somewhat true, and that we were exported to that great hinterland, which for 60,000 years had been occupied by the Aboriginal people, the Australian Aboriginal.
This is their favorite instrument, right?
I would say that was a pretty good segue.
Yeah. Well, you know...
Didgeridoo?
You used to be to have David Hudson's Woolunda.
Uh-huh.
And he is great. I love this instrument. I you know, when I first got this CD in my mailbox, I never even heard a didgeridoo and had any idea what...
Didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo.
Play the didgeridoo blue. Play the didgeridoo.
Right. So you know, let's do a little history. I mean, what brought somebody from the land of prison ships down under to... the land of prison ships on this side of the world.
Well, I'm a traveler.
The other half of the British prisoners of war went.
I'm a traveler, and tonight I'm here with, I wouldn't say it was my posse, but some of my friends from Underhill.com.
Oh,
here with Gary. Gary from, these are people, folks that hang out in our neighborhood with Grace, aka Tanya, with Citizen One, musicians, artists, performers, political activists, students, and all from Brooklyn currently. I'm originally from Australia. I think Tonya's from upstate New York somewhere. She can speak for herself. And I don't know where Gary's from. I know he used to be the station manager at WKCR, the Columbia University station, though.
So you have, you're a radio person as well?
I'm a radio, yes.
There you go.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed.
I have roots in this medium, thank you, and roots on Underhill as well.
Mm-hmm. And Citizens, originally from North Carolina, and...
I went to high school in North Carolina.
Oh, really?
I went to Salem Academy in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina, very nice. Very nice town.
I haven't heard from Grace yet.
I'm from Greenville, North Carolina.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I had a couple of classmates from Greenville.
Really? Hmm. Lots of artists.
I'm sorry?
Lots of artists North Carolina.
Transient.
Well, here we are.
Okay.
Now,
Underhill. What is this Underhill mob? You're talking about Underhill Avenue in Brooklyn, right?
Yes, we are. We it's interesting. When I left WBAI as program director in 1993, you know, I worked in radio for a little bit longer, but subsequently... settled out on Underhill Avenue, which is kind of underneath the Brooklyn Public Library, up on the other side of Flatbush, Two Park Slope. And it's a very interesting community, very mixed community in all kinds of ways, you know, socially, racially, culturally. And I don't know, we've formed, you know, a collaboration, if you like, of people who live out there. There's a wonderful theatre called Resistance Theatre, which is just a few blocks up from my storefront, and Grace lives on top of the theatre, and it's a nice little, it's a little tiny slab of Lower East Side like activity, I suppose you'd say, but it's not the Lower East Side, it's Brooklyn, it's Underhill Avenue, and tonight when you invited me, Paul and Joni, to come in and sit in with you guys on your show, I thought, why not introduce some of my friends from Underhill to the WBAI too. I haven't been here since the station moved from 35th Street.
This is your first time you've been here.
How about that view?
Well, it's a hell of a view.
Well, yeah, I'm more concerned about the station, you know, and I don't know how much we're going to talk about that, but, you know, Pacifica is... I mean, it's interesting. You know, there's so many changes happening, and to come into this new situation here and to see it in the flesh is kind of interesting, and with all of the problems going on at the same time.
Lots of security here.
A lot of security.
Yeah, it's the Wall Street scene, you know. It's not quite like wandering in through the garbage on 505 8th Avenue.
No, it hasn't quite got that charm, that's
true.
Yeah,
and I used to love that charm, and I do miss it. And I don't like to have my guests
downstairs.
ID'd.
Can I? Yeah, exactly.
Although they backed off from IDing our guests on this program, they sort of backed off from forcing them.
We don't have any picture ID.
Look, Andrew hasn't been here.
After they found out that, excuse me. After they found out Big Hike and Bad One didn't have picture IDs, I guess they backed off a little bit.
Right, Lower East Side Connection showed up without the picture IDs, and it was a slight... We had a bit of a confrontation. We had to get our guests in here without... It got to the point where, like, well, the only guests we could have were those who had picture IDs, you know?
Well, it's great to be here tonight, but I guess it doesn't feel like a community radio station anymore on Wall Street. I mean, that's really true.
It's the address.
And
even
it actually
is a community building.
Yeah. I'll
defend it to that extent. I mean, it's a building of community organizations.
It's a big helicopter pad outside on the view.
Where the Clinton flies in.
Yeah, that's where he comes, huh?
Yeah.
It's different, that's for sure.
Where's the canoe launch?
There's a landing gear out there. I said, what the? Where's that?
Yeah. We're going to talk more. We're going to get into this and talk more about this. We generally have some business we like to get to, a regular let them talk business for the listeners, and Joni has the list of announcements of events as people tune in. They want to know what's happening in the community. And why don't we go to our list of events, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk. I'm going to raise some of these questions
Beautiful.
That we talked about today.
Okay.
Right, so hang in there.
WBAI, New York.
Well, first of all, I want everybody to remember our neighbors at Dos Blancos, that's 713 East 9th Street, who are still under the threat of eviction, and they're accepting donations at Blackout Books to finance their appeal that's currently pending, and there are also some benefits coming up, so if you can get out for these, they'd really appreciate the support. The next one is Friday the 19th at 9 o'clock, and that's going to be Electro, Tribal, and Drum and Bass, DJ Zemi and others, Pyrotechnics Performance, Percussion, and Video. And then on the 20th, that's Saturday, also at 9 p.m., Black Cat Sound System, Hardcore Techno Sonic Attack. All right, and the Dos Blancos information line to keep up on what's going on over there is 212-592-3039. That's Dos Blancos at 212-592-3039. Get out and support our neighbors who are facing the threat of eviction. All right, also, the Gay Landscape, a show sponsored by the Art Group, opening Wednesday, February 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. That's Wednesday the 24th at Clemente Soto Velez Cultural Center, 107 Suffolk on the second floor gallery. That's running from the 24th, February 24th until March 30th. Thursday through Sunday from 12 to 6, and the opening is February 24th. They're featuring artists such as Ray Croson, who's a painter, and Charles Gustina, photographer. All right, at ABC No Rio, February 14th, that's already happened, the opening, it's running through March 28th. It's a porno show, work meant to arouse and excite. It's called Plain Brown Rapper, and it's running through March 28th. That's at ABC No Rio, 156 Rivington Street. That's between Suffolk and Clinton. 212-254-3697. That's 212-254-3697. And they are open every, Tuesday and Thursday from 5 to 8 and Sundays from noon to 3. Also at ABC No Rio on March 4th, Thursday, March 4th, 7:30 p.m., musical and theatrical performers will come together in a six-hour pan-arts benefit for ABC No Rio. And this will take place at the Mazur Theater at the Educational Alliance, 197 East Broadway. That's at 7:30. That's on March 4th at 7:30 p.m. And there's a contact number that's 212-677-5281. 212-677-5281. That's to benefit ABC No Rio. Also, March 2nd, 1999, in Albany, New York, at noon at the Capitol Building, there's a protest protesting the Rockefeller drug laws. There's free buses to get up there. We want everybody to turn out. And for information about free transportation, that's 212-539-8441. For free transportation to the Rockefeller drug law protests, March 2nd, 1999, in Albany, New York, 212-539-8441. Justice for Amadou Diallo. Everybody try to get out for this one. We've been going to some of these rallies, and it's really important for as many people as possible to get out. This one is Monday, February 22nd, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at City Hall. This is sponsored by the Citywide Coalition for Justice. For more information, call 212-979-7878, extension 3920. That's the Citywide Coalition for Justice, 212-979-7878, extension 3920. The demonstration is Monday, February 22nd at City Hall from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., and we hope we'll see a lot of you out there. Now, the African International Merchants Agency, National Mobilization of Vendors Vanguard Movement, in the spirit of our beloved brother Amadou Diallo, street vendor shot 41 times, executed and murdered February 4th, 1999 by Giuliani Death Squad, New York City Police Department. Red Alert, Street Vendors Rally. That's 3 p.m. Thursday, February 18th. That's tomorrow, 3 p.m. in front of the Harlem State Office Building at 125th Street between Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard and Malcolm X Boulevard in Harlem. 3 p.m. tomorrow, February 18th, in front of the Harlem State Office Building at 125th Street. For information, 917-317-4058. 917-317-4058. And if you want to get in touch with the Citywide Coalition to remove Giuliani, you can get petitions, newsletters, buttons, and any more information you're interested in at 718-859-0857 or 212-242-4201. That's 718-859-0857 or 212-242-4201. That's the Citywide Coalition to Remove Giuliani. And Mumia 911, National Day of Art to stop the execution of Mumia Abu-Jamal. For information, call 1-888-456-5650 or email mumia911@hotmail.com. Mumia 911, that's 1-888-456-5650. That's a National Day of Art to stop the execution of Mumia Abu-Jamal on September 11th, 1999. They're doing all the planning now, so if you want to get involved, call them up. Also for Mumia, don't forget Saturday, April 24th, Mumia's birthday in Philadelphia, the Millions for Mumia March. Volunteers and funds are needed. For information, call 212-633-6646. That's Millions for Mumia on Saturday, April 24th, Mumia's birthday. And on February 26th, National Student Youth Day for Mumia Abu-Jamal. Plan something on your campus, and you can call or email the Youth Network of Refuse and Resist for materials and help. That's 212-385-9305. Youth Network of Refuse and Resist, 212-385-9305. Also, a town hall evening of for Justice for Mumia. That's Friday, February 26th, 7 p.m. at Town Hall. That's 123 West 43rd Street. Friday, February 26th at 7 p.m., a town hall evening for Justice for Mumia. Some of the people that are going to be there, Ossie Davis, Pam Africa, Len Wineglass, that's Mumia's attorney, Ramsey Clark, Geronimo Pratt, E.L. Doctoro, Sophia Bukhari, Al Sharpton, Robert Mirapol, Leslie Feinberg, C. Clark Kissinger, who was here last week, will all
be there.
You know
who Robert Mirapol is?
Who's that?
He's the son of the Rosenbergs.
That's right.
Who are, of course, put to death for being different in their ideas, right? It shows you what can happen in America.
And one last announcement about an event for Mumia. It's going to be out in Long Island, if anybody's listening out there. That's Sunday, March 14th, at the Social Justice Committee of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Shelter Rock is sponsoring a program entitled Speaking Up for Mumia. And let's see, their telephone number is 516-627-6560. 516-627-6560 to get directions to the church. This is the Unitarian Universalist Church of Shelter Rock, and that's in Manhasset. 516-627-6560. So try to get out to some of these demonstrations. It's very important for numbers to be there.
Thank you, Joan Moosey. This is the Beastie Boys at the benefit for Mumia, New Jersey, a couple weeks ago. Let's listen for a second.
It was a different time, 25 years ago, when New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller promulgated the most extreme drug laws in the United States. Since then, the Rockefeller drug laws have filled the prisons with low-level, nonviolent, and first-time offenders facing mandatory sentences ranging from 15 years to a lifetime. Today, the need for reform is recognized even by politicians, including New York State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer.
I think that we should reform the Rockefeller drug laws. I think there has been agreement by virtually all who study those laws, regardless of where people fall on the political spectrum, that they have not worked.
On Tuesday, March 2nd, thousands of citizens and inmate family members will converge on the state capitol in Albany to roll back the Rockefeller drug laws. Speakers will include Ron Daniels, Al Grandpa Lewis, former New York State Supreme Court Judge Jerome Marks, attorney Margaret Ratner, pardoned former prisoner Anthony Papa, Norman Siegel of the New York Civil Liberties Union, and the Reverend Al Sharpton, among others. Transportation is available with a phone call to area code 212-539-8441. The Rockefeller Drug Law Rally is organized by the William Moses Kunstler Fund for Racial Justice and endorsed by the New York State Criminal Justice Alliance. Call 212-539-8441 for transportation and further information in reversing the Rockefeller drug laws. It's about time.
Yes, the Rockefeller drug laws must be overturned. People are suffering. You know, we have one more announcement, a special announcement, because our very own Miss Jo Marie Moosey, who just announced all those wonderful events that are happening, has a show of her own. It's coming up together with, well, why don't you explain it?
Oh, I'm going to be in Penny Arcade's show, Bad Reputation, that's starting March 4th at PS 122.
Do you have to have a bad reputation to be in it?
Well, I do.
Tell us a little bit more about this bad reputation.
Oh, about my bad reputation?
Well, you can either one.
Oh, which is, of course, fascinating. Well, the show is going to be opening on March 4th, and it's going to be four weekends in a row, Wednesday through Sunday, for the next four Wednesday through Sundays at PS 122, starting at 8:30, and I hope people will come out and see the show.
How can they go and see it?
I think you have to call.
Where is PS 122?
PS 122 is on First Avenue at 9th Street.
In Manhattan?
Yes.
How much is it?
I don't know.
We have to call PS122. We don't have their number.
I'm an actress, not an administrator. No, I don't have the number, but I'll get it, and I'll announce it next time, next week.
Okay. Joan Lucy, and we'll talk more about that presentation. Well, you know, there's so much going on. You know, I wanted to play a little bit of this tape that we did the other day. You know, we were up at...
Now, this was an unbelievable experience. When we went up to the rally, is that what you're talking about?
Do you think that dum-dum bullets are the answer to police brutality and these type of shootings?
No, a dum-dum bullet is dumb.
I mean, what's the mayor trying to say? What kind of message? Is he just so out of touch he doesn't know what's going on, or is there a method to this madness?
Well, I think what the attempt is to use the Diallo shooting to make it easier for the police department to get greater ammunition. And so they took the 41 shots and they turned it into making it easier for them to use what they wanted all along, which was the hollow point bullets. But hopefully the public won't accept that and they'll continue to be critical and raise questions, especially when there's more people who are shot directly by the bullet than by the ricochet or the pass-through. The change over to a hollow point bullet, in my opinion, creates greater harm for all New Yorkers, including police officers who are victims of friendly fire and who discharge their own weapons on themselves. So it doesn't make any sense.
Now, you were on the committee with, the committee that Giuliani, after the last year we were here, I mean, it's like deja vu all over again. It's a year and a half ago. It was in the Brooklyn with the incidents at the 70th Precinct, Avner Louima. And you sat on a committee and you discussed this with the mayor, and he didn't have very nice things to say about you, and you had to have an almost like a minority report.
Oh, we did.
And looking back on it, has the mayor asked you to join any other committees? Is there going to be any more of these sort of citizen police committees to look into police brutality?
Well, someone in government was talking to me yesterday about it, but I'm not going to serve in any government commissions anymore. I did what I did, and we wrote a report, and the mayor basically ignored it. If he would have listened to us and read the report and implemented some of the recommendations, perhaps the dynamic, at least the aftermath of the Diallo shooting, would have been different. So I think there's a mayor who doesn't get it. There's a mayor whose Achilles heel is race. When you put race and police brutality together, you have a potentially explosive situation, as we see right now.
So we have to sort of grit our teeth to the next election and be happy that there's term limits in New York at this point.
Well, no, I think what we have to do is bring about systemic change. I think we have to eliminate the 48-hour rule, get better training, permanent special prosecutor, residency requirement. Those are the kind of things that we have to keep our eyes on the prize, and that's the prize. Systemic change here. But let me watch what's going on.
Thank you.
No justice, no peace.
That's underneath the L at the Bronx County Courthouse right by Yankee Stadium. And we were talking, of course, with Norman Siegel, who was there. And we could hear some more from that tape maybe later on. There was a confrontation. We got very little reporting. It was reported a little bit in the news, but it didn't really...
Nobody ever said exactly what had happened, because what happened to us is that we got to the rally late. This was at the Bronx County Courthouse on Tuesday, and we got there late after all the speakers were done, and people were just milling around talking, and it was really great. People were talking to people they didn't know, groups of friends, and new people were joining them, and everybody was talking about Diallo and what had happened and what they thought should happen next. And then the police started coming into the crowd and saying, well, you have to disperse now because we're going to open the street to traffic. And suddenly people just started chanting in the middle of the street, and everyone who went on the sidewalk went back into the street. And the police really couldn't control it, and they ended up marching down to the criminal courthouse and then back past the county courthouse to the subway. I guess they had hoped for people to go down in the subway and leave at that point, but people refused to leave, and there was a lot of discussion in the crowd between the people who thought everyone should leave and the people who thought they should stay. And it was really a fascinating experience. And
yeah, we have some of that on tape. Maybe we'll listen to it later, where people are actually arguing amongst each other, and some groups are saying, let's go. Some people are, let's... I'm trying to figure out who the provocateurs are. You know? I was wondering if both sides were in.
Well, and regardless, there were certainly moments where the people were just filled with anger, and it was inspirational to see them stand in defiance to the police orders and just refuse to disperse. And they began marching up and down the street, and one of the most exhilarating things was looking into the storefronts, where people ran to the front. People were also chanting along with the crowd and screaming justice, justice, and had their fists raised in the air, even in the H&R Block storefront. And it was really quite incredible.
It was pretty amazing. And it was, I remember huge Puerto Rican flags were flying out of people's windows in the apartments around the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, people were hanging out their windows.
And they were cheering, and people were waiting online to get into the criminal courts there, and the cops came, and they seemed to be taken by surprise, and they totally surrounded the demonstration finally at one point and tried to pin everybody in. And as soon as they tried to pin people in, they tried to escape out.
People just exited the pen.
Right, and it was tense. You know, this is not a sweet peace and flowers type of protest. This was pretty intense towards the end there, very angry.
And it was
people.
Well after the organizers and speakers had all left.
Yeah,
most of the press had left. It was really...
Yeah. Pull the mic a little closer.
Okay, sorry. The whole idea of like when an event is actually over, that's what's kind of funny, is how they set up. They know what, you know, the days that there's going to be an event, especially now about Amadou's, it's dictated. They know how to set up. And I just went to a small demonstration for the Momia Coalition, the youth group, and a few people showed up. It was all kind of a small mess, but they had actually set the cops up down on Fulton Street. They had brought out barricades and enough cops for a full-scale demonstration.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it was funny, well, because what happened was we had made this big prop and a puppet, and there was maybe 10 of us, and we discussed on whether or not we could take it and
what was this rally happen?
In Fulton Street. This is like Sunday. It was real low-key.
Why Fulton Street? It was just a lot of people.
It was
there.
Actually, what they had intended was we were going to take the bridge. It was...
the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, exactly, and then march to Federal Plaza. But, it was all discussed what happened, why did it fall through, how the cops come out and everything. And so it was assumed maybe there was this, maybe someone came in a meeting, they had something posted on the web, even though it seemed to be more low-key, which is strange to me. I got involved late as, like, a puppeteer. But... to see that what had turned out, the cops actually, what they made a deal with, whether or not we could carry a prop. We discussed this, and then we had two scooters escort us up and down Fulton Street, which is, very funny. But what I really wanted to say about when an event ends, I had told you this story, after the Board of Trustees had a vote to end remediation. And they had this at LaGuardia High School in Queens.
I remember that.
And when the event was very funny, we had
anybody who was opposed to ending mediation was going to attend, and they went through metal detectors and went inside. And
you had to go through metal detectors to attend the meeting.
Oh, yeah, a Democratic event. So it was great inside. It was, you know, it was kind of, that may be old news to some people, but it was a wonderful thing that they couldn't even hear themselves talking on stage.
Is that the one where they actually had to put it off to another meeting, another time?
Yes. Well, actually, they called an executive, I don't know what the hell you call it, but the...
Behind closed doors type.
Yeah.
In order to decide this, because they knew they'd never get through a public meeting of it.
They just knew it. They took all the, whatever it was.
Community Board 3. That's an old Community Board 3 trick on the Lower East Side.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, I remember one meeting. Well, no, I remember one meeting when they went to executive session to stop people from commenting. Surrounded the table where people were. Yeah, the surrounded the pe- the t- people where the people from the committee were having their from the community board were having their meeting was totally surrounded by riot cops.
Sounds like a Pacifica board meeting.
Yeah, I was going to make the. Oh.
Oh.
Well, I tell you, you know, I was at one in California 2 years ago, about a year, was it? Yeah, 2 years ago, and I was disturbed by the whole way the thing was held, and I could see there's a lot of, but you know, there's a lot, you know, the California scene is a little different than the New York scene.
That's true.
I mean, there seems to be something going on out there that's deeper even, well,
yeah,
we seem to be catching
the,
up.
They want to take over the whole network. That's what they want to do in that little town called Berkeley. They want to run the country, the five Pacifica stations, out of this small-scale cultural elite, if you like, this sort of very, very centralized bureaucracy out of Berkeley is essentially trying to run this very energetic, powerful, important community radio outlet. Used to be a community radio outlet. Pacifica is no longer essentially community radio. I mean, it's very difficult for the community to actually get access to the station, I think, as you are producers still at the station I was. It is actually hard for the community to get into the system.
I have to say, though,
actually,
in a lot of ways, is that really new? I mean, even when I first started back in the mid-1980s, there's, you know, many people who would like to get on the air, and the result is the institution tends to make it difficult, puts high initial...
Pirate radio.
You know, high initial barriers.
Pirate radio is the answer, I think.
To getting on. And not even necessarily associated with skill and stuff, but, and this is what can seem unfair, a lot has to do with who you know. You know, I was lucky I ran into Dennis Bernstein, and he introduced me to you and to Robert Knight. And that got me into the radio. But, you know, if I didn't have the wherewithal to do that, I'd still be just listening.
There's always a hierarchy, I mean, of necessity in an institution like this. I mean, I think Gary might disagree. He's more of an anarchist than I am. But, Gary?
And a former radio program director himself, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I have a hard time.
Oh, wait, something's going on here. I'm sorry.
Definitely, once again, censored by the man. You know?
There you go.
It's tough, man. But, I find that even on a radio station like this, that there are very few kinds of ideas that can get out. There's a sort of centrist notion that prevails even within the leftist views that come out. And I think, you know, you're going to find that there's a sort of flattening out of the bell curve that goes on. No extremist views in the major media, and even on this sort of community radio like here, you're going to find that what passes as radical or even leftist ideology is still fairly centrist and not representative of the community.
Well, how I've had it put to me is, you know, Paul, you know, from the Lower East Side, it's all well and good. You know, we'll stick you, you know, you cover these urban issues, you cover these wacky people, you cover, you know, basically these people who are totally without any real power or influence or say in society. They barely have two pieces of change to rub together in their pockets. It's what BAI at one level is about, but it's not really a pressure group that can really, you know, get things going. I mean, it's like, you know, they're basically doing me a favor having me on the air. It's not like, you know, you're doing us much of a favor because you bring a bunch of poor hippies and street people into our scene, even though, you know, it might be argued that that's some of the most interesting radio we do.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, that's the juice. You know what I mean? That's your audience out there too. At the same time, I mean, you've got a certain percentage which is well-to-do, middle-class people. But when you're talking about, you know, the real majority of the population, they're not people with money. They're not people with power. They're not people with influence, and they don't hear their voices reflected on the radio. What we hear on the radio is the voice of those people who have responsibility over property, those people who have responsibility over positions that are delegated to them by the power structure.
Although I feel we've done better than that at BAI, and I would think that even I talk to people like over on the email at the stations, the other Pacifica stations, and they think we're like heaven. Whatever problems we think we have here.
WBAI has always been like
they
the
love
most
us. They can't believe we get
country.
Away with mm-hmm. the conversation we're having right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're probably walking on the edge of the gag rule, but I have a feeling that it's
community
still with
radio.
I still have a feeling that it's cool. You know. You know, I don't fear that I'm going to get like a call in the night saying you talked about station business, but I know that people out in California would fear this, and they think we were nuts having this conversation.
Really?
I know, it's sad but true. And I'd hate to see that come to such a unique institution
well, you know,
as WBAI.
It's interesting. Part of the reason when you asked me, we talked about coming in to talk a little bit on the radio, and as you said earlier, I haven't been in here before to this news station, haven't been on the radio for a long time. But I was really keen to invite some other people with me from Underhill, people who are very interested in so-called pirate or low-power radio. And we now see the FCC, in fact, the current commissioner, what's his name, Kennard, I think, actually pushing hard to provide licenses for what would be 10-watt stations down to a 1-watt station. Now, a 10-watt station would have a listening parameters of about 10 miles, I think, 9 to 10 miles, whereas the 1-watt would go out about 1 mile, mm-hmm. roughly. I think that's great, and I think it's potentially great. The question is, who's going to get the licenses? I mean, I would urge, for instance, people who may be listening now who are interested, including ourselves, in radio and its potential to communicate, that the new community radio station, given the fact that Pacifica, I would say categorically at this point, is not community radio, that we need to create, perhaps some of us that are interested, and let Pacifica go its own way. I mean, frankly, I'm not that interested in Pacifica anymore. It's another kind of institution. It doesn't actually carry the kind of radio that I'm interested in, which some of it's political, but some of it has to do with the very aesthetic of radio, the medium that can carry ideas, a certain poetic interpretation of our lives.
And that's what we're losing
sense.
Here in
yeah,
a lot of ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's why I call it the dying art of radio.
Well,
I mean, if you listen to our programming during the day, it really is more and more talk show,
talking heads,
more than ever. And it can't be denied that doesn't bring in a lot of support.
Sure, it's a place for that, but there is a place for a different kind of radio, and maybe that's going to...
Dollar,
maybe we're going to generate that in these smaller stations, be they illegal or legal or whatever. The internet's a whole other question. Of course, the internet is not radio. It's a whole other kind of archiving audio.
By the way, our number is 212-209-2900, and we have Andrew Phillips, we have the Underhill Gang, I'm Paul DiRienzo, Miss Joe Marie Moosey.
Call us up. Yeah,
call us up.
Call in and complain about how the FCC
This is Monroe's big chance, you know. Monroe, you always complain that I don't let us...
There he is.
Paul, I want to just tell you about a little story here, which kind of fits in with tonight. I just wanted to... Yeah, I paid $25 a little while ago for a really comfortable old wicker love seat out in the street in Brooklyn. The old Ruster man who sold it has his LPs and books displayed out on the sidewalk like a lot of street vendors do near Grand Army Plaza Subway in Brooklyn. He's often there at the entrance all hours, night and day, selling the kind of stuff you don't find in any conventional kind of store. The Ruster man just sits back in his beaten up old chair for sale through all kinds of weather. Street smart, street wise, making an honest living, hurting no one. Waiting to make a sale so he can eat, so he can survive, so he can live. So when the Ruster man saw me the other day riding past on my big old bicycle, riding slow with my garden tools, because these days I work in gardens landscaping, Paul. Soil plants outside in the sunshine when it's sunny. A simple kind of thing I could create a metaphor around, but I'm not going to. The Rasta man just walks out into the street and stops me cold and says, "You know me, man. I'm no beggar, man. But I need some food, some rice and beans. Can you help me? The police have shut me down." There's a thin line between civil society and revolution, and sometimes it's more civil to revolt. What is it that keeps us down like this? How are we able to just watch as our liberty, our humanness, is eroded piece by piece? How much will we take? What was it that gave Timothy McVeigh the freedom to kill when his rage became too much? How much is enough? The poet Robert Frost writes, "One summer day while I was walking along a country road on the farm where I was born, a section of the old stone wall opposite me and not more than 3 or 4 yards distant suddenly fell down. Amid the general stillness and immobility about me, the effect was quite startling. It was the sudden summing up of a half century or more of atomic changes in the material of the wall. A grain or two of sand yielded to the pressure of the long years, and gravity did the rest. So how long does it take? How many days? How many deaths? How many lifetimes? The straw that breaks the camel's back. The straw that breaks the camel's back. Oklahoma, Oklahoma, where the wind blows swiftly across the plains, blowing tumbleweeds and topsoil and memories from deep far away, blowing in the wind, blowing lives away, blowing notions of a safe heartland away, blowing freedom blue sky high, blowing my heart away, scattered dreams and debris, broken bones and broken hearts, jackboots marching down my spine, nitrogen dreams and the blood behind my teeth, ashes in my ears. And all the gay apologists, Vietnam, napalm, Coca-Cola wars, Disneyland, Pocahontas playing on the AstroTurf, Central Park, gangbang, Mel Gibson's Aussie Braveheart, good gay, they all love chicken shit, cartoon voice, McDonald's minimum wage, and rainforest smoking, stink of burned Yamamani and papal incense. The Rasta man just walks slowly out into the street and with a voice as smooth and soft as silk, ask me to help him live. You know me, man. I'm no beggar, man. But I need some food, some rice and beans. Can you help me? The police have shut me down. So how long does it take, Paul? How many days? How many days? How many deaths? How many lifetimes? The straw that breaks the camel's back. The straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yo, what is this year 2K thing? Does it really exist, or is it just a myth to justify martial law at the end of the year? That's what I want to ask. Call in.
Both.
Well, we have a lot of callers.
212-209-2900.
She didn't do anything.
Just one of the many you have gone.
Why are you so mean?
Why do they hire sadists to patrol our streets? What was it your mother didn't give you? The only one little baby. The first one you need, or the last one.
I think we got a lot of phone calls.
You're on the radio.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
Oh, it's a great show. Great show, Paul. I'm going to ask you two questions. Isn't there a recall, a provision in the city charter now that we could remove this guy on?
Remove Giuliani?
Yeah.
Well, I have a number for the coalition to remove Giuliani.
But I'm saying, is there a recall provision in the city charter?
I don't have it in front of me, but these folks, there's an organization that's dealing with this issue directly, and they've been collecting petition signatures towards that end, and
right.
they probably know the details.
Right. I got a suggestion, if I may, and I'm going to go.
We'll go in and give the phone number, too, of that group.
Yeah, this is the citywide coalition to remove Giuliani, and they have Brooklyn and a Manhattan number, 718.
Right.
859-0857
right.
Or 212
right.
242
right.
4201
right. And I want to ask this question.
Okay.
In the next elections, just as it's coming up, the president, all these elections, can we in the future have a psychological profile of these people who are running for office so that we can block them, block them before they even get in?
We want to know their whole mental health history.
This guy's a monster.
We need a bad report.
You know? Zoloft.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, honey.
Psychosis is a requirement.
Conventional psychology would keep out anybody who would do any good.
Right. Well, what is it I heard about? Who was given Zoloft? There was a recent crime that was connected to the person who was taking Zoloft, and that's what drove him.
Oh, Phil Hartman's wife.
Phil Hartman's wife. That's what it was. The big story, right?
Well, that isn't the
Zoloft,
saddest.
That was it. They had TS on. You're Hello? On the radio.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, gang.
How you doing?
Hey.
All right, listen.
Hello.
What?
It's great to hear Andrew Phillips back on
Isn't
the air
that
again.
Nice?
And you guys aren't on the edge, you're over the edge.
Yeah.
All right!
You see, we're the king, queen of media.
Well,
the hell with Howard Stern. He's number
well,
two.
I'm going to say you're over the edge verbally, and now I'd like to see you, all the producers at BAI put their guts and their cells on the line and have a general strike before the next board meeting on the 26th.
Yeah. General strike, rent strike.
If it wasn't
general
as soon strike. As we
right.
did it, 20 other people would take
We're
our shows
jumping,
in
right.
a second.
Well, say, the scab thing
yeah,
is very high here.
The contingent is pretty big, is it true?
Well, I'm hoping that because, you know, Andrew's right. I mean, for all intents and purposes, community radio is dead at Pacifica. Not so bad at BAI, but Pacifica in general.
It's true.
And you guys, like, I mean...
I'm still on life support here at BAI, at least.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's now or never, guys. You know what I mean? You can get out to the... I mean, I'm a signatory to the petition and the gag rule. I signed on board on it last night when I went on Radio for All on the
web.
The gag. Okay, and the only producer's name I saw on that list was Max Schmid.
Now you saw mine on it too.
Oh yeah, well
they probably yeah it's on there somewhere.
Is it?
Yeah, I saw.
All right, well good. Well, get the word out to the rest. And you know I got to tell you, I love you, the daytime people too.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to put their money where their mouth is and get on board. I mean, if free speech radio means anything at all anymore to this station, okay, it's time to be stand up and be counted before the Politburo meets in Berkeley on the 26th.
All right, thank you.
Thanks
man.
For
and
calling.
And as far as Y2K thing,
oh yeah, what about that?
I just want to say real quick, okay?
Okay.
I don't believe it's a myth, but it's going to be a convenient excuse for martial law.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you got some people who agree with you. It's pretty. They're already moving the National Guard in. All right. You're on the air.
I want to say that Bill Clinton, Trenwatt are puppets of Milosevic. So is Pacifica.
Is this Mike?
Yes, and also is. Monty is a puppet of Milosevic too.
Is this Mike though? Is this?
No.
You sound different.
This
no,
is the angry caller.
It's the angry caller. All right. Thank you for that. We'll have to do a. You know, we're going to have Sarah Flounders has expressed interest in talking about this. I'm sure you'd love to have it out with her.
Milosevic is a cocksucker.
Oh, no.
Right. Yeah.
Like it is, baby.
That's right, baby.
Hello?
You're on the radio.
Oh, this is my Cossack song.
Oh, there's Mike.
There you are. Yay.
There he is, the other Kosovo
Yay.
Guy.
Yes, did you get my message?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we got your
Thank
message.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, you know, I have an announcement to make.
Oh,
they
okay.
could call up BAI tomorrow for more information. Samori had announced this on his show.
What's that?
The great
the great Ramsey Clark. Bill Weinberg, are you listening? Ramsey Clark will be speaking against American aggression in Kosovo, the unjust anti-Serb policies of this country and many people on the left. It will be Thursday night at some church in Manhattan.
Now, tell me this, Michael, just briefly. I don't want to go off into this subject, okay, but it just interests me. Why is there this convergence of opinions between yourself, who's basically a monarchist, I guess a conservative or a right winger, or someone who wants to go back to traditional times in the Serbian land, and Ramsey Clark, Sarah Flounders, et al., all these unrepentant communists.
Who's Sarah Freeman?
Sarah Flounders.
International Action Center.
I'm the king.
Yeah. Okay, listen to this.
Okay.
Why is Bill Weinberg in bed with NATO and the Clinton administration on this issue? How about that, the virgins?
Okay, Bill is probably listening.
Call up, Bill.
Okay,
we want to hear who you're in bed with.
Okay, one more thing. You know,
Bill in bed with
Berkeley is not the only Politburo. There are problems here at 120 Wall Street. And I also...
There's not...
Oh.
Come on.
Lover, lover. T-dabba, abba.
Too much detail. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
This is... I have several questions, but first thing, Paul, I hope that you write a biography on Giuliani, maybe title it In the Service of Power. I mean,
he
really
can title it.
You're ready to write it. And I tell you, the best book on Giuliani, if you want to learn about Giuliani right now, is Smoke and Mirrors by Dan Baum, B-A-U-M. And it's a book about the war on drugs. And it's the best book on the whole beginnings and the issue of how it
Wayne
started.
Wayne Barrett up here one night.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice.
Wayne Barrett.
Well, we have plenty of tapes of Giuliani yelling at Paul.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy's cursed me out more times than anybody except Dan Quayle.
I really feel that you should also contribute, because you're not only an intellectual, because you do write and you're articulate, but I really feel that you could fill in a gap in the body of knowledge, because...
I tell you something, Rudy. I've had it out with a lot of mayors, and Rudy is really a jerk.
Do you think that you characterized him as a grim king?
Yes.
Do you feel that he could self-destruct? Do you think that this could be maybe the beginning of the end? Or at least a temporary, more than a speed bump in his...
What's scary is what Grandpa Al Lewis talks about, the soil of, you know, the racist weeds grow out of a poisoned soil, which goes back a long period in American history. Unfortunately, somebody like Giuliani isn't the cause of our problems, he's a symptom of the problem. And in a sense...
He's an indicator.
And you know, you see it in... you know, often I see situations where people express racism so easily and so clearly, and then deny it and don't think that they are. And it's amazing, you know, that it's so ingrained in our being that people don't even know it when they're being that way, and when they're expressing bigoted remarks and sentiments and stuff. And I think until we really get at, you know, the basic, you know, we still, I think, haven't completed the American Revolution. I mean, the Civil War, they say, was the completion of the American Revolution. No. I think that was just the beginning. It was just a long ways to go.
Folks. About revolution.
Yeah, right.
Shout out to an American revolutionary, Chris Broder, who was locked up in Rikers Island for 12 days without trial, protesting Giuliani before everybody else jumped on the bandwagon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is very dangerous. I mean, you know, not being charged in the...
Who,
the
Chris
Haitian
Broder or...
No, Giuliani. I'm just scared, because the thing is that he's talking about hollow point bullets. I think it resonates with the white community, the larger white civil society.
He's taking advantage of the racism that runs through our society.
Yes.
It's un... People
feeding
act,
it with fear.
Yeah.
Well, there's a great...
Throwing gasoline on the flames.
This is where the arts and radio stations like this... I mean, we've got the political side of WBAI, but I tell you what I've learned. You asked about Underhill, and I'll try and connect the idea that this gentleman's talking about with what we're talking about. You know, when I went to Underhill, I worked at WBAI for, 15 years, and was inside the system here. And I knew all kinds of people. But I didn't live
with the community. I lived in an apartment like most people, and I locked the door and I went inside. I didn't have a lot to do with the people in my community. When I left WBAI and moved out to Underhill Avenue, because I live still in a storefront with just that thin barrier between myself and the street, I was actually, in a sense, forced to confront the street and get to know the people, the human beings that occupy the street. And I'm a white man. I'm from Australia. Ergo, I'm a racist in terms of, because I don't understand, because I don't didn't understand other people and hadn't met them yet. And so there is a fear, there is an incipient fear which the power structure through the media imposes on us, the hollow point bullet.
Encourages, that, yeah.
It encourages it. And you come to America and you're afraid. You know, you're afraid of a young black man of 19 years of age in running shoes and a hood over his head. And to some extent, maybe you should be sometimes. It's not.
I had someone,
or a white man in the same outfit. That's not the point.
Who are we more afraid of right now?
Well, I was at a demonstration
but
2 days ago.
Point. The point is here that once you meet firsthand, you meet the other human beings, wherever they be from, then that racism of necessity falls away, because you can't survive. You're humanized. You can't survive in the community and be a racist at the same time. It's unacceptable. It's only acceptable when you're closed in, you're closeted, you're fearful, you've got fear in your heart. You got to get out there and meet the people, and you'll find, surprisingly, that it's very, very different. That was my personal experience and
that's
my testimony.
That's
hallelujah.
What was happening the other day after that rally, is that people were meeting and talking.
Yeah.
It was fascinating to see groups of people.
Dropping your guard.
You start to talk, and other people just joined in and gathered around and
that's
started interacting, and people of all different races and cultural backgrounds.
30 seconds after we showed up,
we were speaking to six people we'd never met.
I know. I was totally surrounded by people, and people were peppering
and
questions.
It was fantastic.
Joni was with another crowd of six people. We were like, next thing we didn't see each other for another 20 minutes because we were pulled apart into different groups.
Different conversations. But
and I don't remember what one person said to me.
At a very high level. These were very interesting conversations.
As a reporter, they said to me, you should be careful because I tell you, we're mad. We're angry at this Giuliani, and we're angry at how white people are treating black people in this city and in this country. And people might not necessarily take the time to distinguish between a WBAI reporter over here and some lackey for Giuliani and the cop over there, you know?
So you've got to get out and make your stand.
All white people are threatened by the actions of NYPD Blue, so we got to keep track of that, too.
Yeah, that's very true.
Everybody's got to get out and make their stand. That's the important thing, is to get out to these rallies for Diallo and show some cultural diversity. Show that nobody in the city is going to accept what
happened.
We got to
get over. Somehow we got to climb over this huge negative barrier. This gut wrenching weight, this lead weight, which is in all of our bowels around this. We got to kind of dissolve that, and try to get out through that pain to realize we can converge as a united group of all kinds of people, that Giuliani and the bureaucrats up there are truly the enemy, and they need to be taken out.
Yeah, and
we need
the
everybody.
People behind